Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fittest. So it is Saturday, the day after Black Friday. I have officially called it Good Friday and Black Shopping. So I'm struggling a little bit with what that day is. I don't know if any of y'all did any shopping yesterday, but that was like one of my things that I'm working on, especially for the upcoming year, is to not focus so much on spending and shopping. I have been purging my closet and realizing that I have a lot of stuff that I never wear, and also that I didn't even know I had. So I definitely need to reel in my spending. Amazon and Shein make it so easy. Also, just a little plug here. I want to tell you about two companies that I have been working with for a long time that I really, really love. The first is Gym Glam Apparel, and you can find that company on Instagram. Randy is the owner, and it's a woman-owned business, and they have really cute gym crop tops and that type of thing, and I just love them, and she's always coming out with new designs. I probably am going to be working with her to come up with a shirt that is affiliated with the podcast and my coaching business, and I'll let you know when I do that and that is available, but I love her. I love her stuff. I love her products. And I just wanted to plug that. And if you purchase anything, well, first of all, sign up for the emails, because whenever there's a holiday, she comes out with a deal, either like a 30% off or a, you know, buy two, get one free, or buy one, get one half off or something like that. There's always really great deals going on. And she did give me a code. It is BuffCake10 to get 10% off your purchase at any time. So that. And then Cozy Earth Bedding is a company that I've worked with for a while as well. They have really great bedding and loungewear, sheets and pajamas, and they're just very soft, and I guess I'm not supposed to, they're made from bamboo. I'm not supposed to say antibacterial, but they have some really, I don't know, I guess I'm not supposed to say necessarily antibacterial and hypoallergenic, but there are qualities to bamboo that make it like that, obviously, like sustainable, you know, green, all those other catchphrases that we throw out with those types of things, but they are really, really great. And they used to just have white bedding, and now they have some like earth tone colors. And I got the sheets in walnut, and they're sort of silky, but they're really just really soft and comfortable and temperature regulating. So, you know, your sheets are always cool, which is really, really great for sleep. Anyways, I just love them. So, and they are having a Black Friday special through the weekend, I believe, through Monday. You can use code BuffCake45 to get 45% off. And otherwise, you can use code BuffCake40 and you can always get 40% off. So I have some of their loungewear. I have their pajamas. I have given their pajamas as gifts to other women that I know. And I have a couple sets of their sheets and I just really, really love them. It's like ribbons. They're just really, really nice. But anyways, so you guys can check that out. I also am going to try to update my Amazon page, because a lot of things on my Amazon page are expired and are just like unavailable now. And I have like new leggings that I really love and lots of cosmetic products, like, you know, because I'm aging and trying so hard not to age. And there's a lot of products that I love as well. And so those are on my Amazon page, but I need to update it. And so I don't know if I'm going to do like a video posted on YouTube just to talk about like some of the things that I love and like go to my Amazon page and show you guys some stuff. But anyways, I would look to that in the next week or two if you want to see anything. Leggings especially, I have found some really, really great leggings that I love so, so much. And I'm kind of just like donating my old leggings that I don't love anymore. I'm really into black ones now. Not so much colors anymore. I don't know. I guess this is just like my, grit era of like digging deep and getting down to business in the gym. Speaking of which, yesterday I was at a different location. You guys know that I train at Planet Fitness a lot, but I also train at one of our local gyms that has four locations. And I ran into, Justin Harris, who, if you don't know who that is, he's kind of a big deal. I hadn't seen him in person since I've seen him in a couple of my daughter's track meets because he has a child. He's got four daughters or five daughters. And one of them runs. And so I had seen him at a couple of the track meets, but anyways, he walked in and he's like, "You getting ready for a show?" And I said, "Nope." And he's like, "You just decided to get in shape for no reason." I was like, "Yep." But, I have been a lot more consistent with my training and, always working on the purpose behind my food relationship and eating and working on that. Like, that's a constant work in progress. It's like when people say they're recovered or they're in recovery, which I think Sarah Bishop and I have talked about this before, that we always say, you're in eating disorder recovery. I don't think you're ever like fully recovered, even if you don't delve into the behaviors that were, when you were in the nitty gritty of it, like, binging or starving or whatever it was that you did, like you still will always at some point or things will trigger or whatever. And you'll have like some sort of like, it's just something you're always working on. You're always practicing, I guess I would say. So, which leads us into what I'm going to talk about today, which is healing unhealthy food relationships. I have run into a lot of people who have very black and white thinking. They're, "I want to hire you because I want to lose this weight. I really want to get into great shape." And I'm like, this is a process, especially if you have a history of an unhealthy food relationship. And that's what I do with a lot of the women that I coach. Just a sidebar, I also did order the menopause coaching course through, I think it's called Girls Gone Strong, and they're affiliated with Precision Nutrition. And I will be working on that. I don't know. I think it's an average about a 4-month course, but I'm not 100% sure. But that should be very helpful with coaching. I do work with a lot of women who are, getting into their late 30s and into their 40s and 50s. And I want to be able to either do one-on-one or create some sort of curriculum. I know I've talked about this before, to do like a 6-week speaking engagement type of a thing, and just talk about healing food relationships and maybe delving a little bit more into, why it's more difficult for most women as they get into perimenopause and menopause and some of the things that we can do to kind of counter those things. So, Justin had asked me, and I had told him, Anna's off to college, and I realized, like, just with her being home this week, how much time, like, I'm always making her meals for her, I'm always, like, getting her stuff for her. Plus, if you had seen my Instagram, we almost didn't have Thanksgiving because she did come home and she was sick, so we weren't sure if we were gonna go. And I just realized that I do take care of her when she's home, and I spend a lot less time on myself. So it kind of made me realize how much time I do devote to my daughter, and I have in the past devoted to my daughter. And so I wish I had a little bit more of a happy medium, because I feel like when she's gone, like, I have so much time. And so, you know, I would find myself going to the gym more often, and I would be doing a little bit shorter workouts, which shorter workouts are more precise and more intense. You get less of that, you know, the last couple of exercises can end up getting compromised a little bit because you're tired. And so my training has just really, really, really been great. And I think, you know, it's been a little bit harder for me to eat. I realize, like, even as an adult with her at home, I would make dinner for us, and sometimes it wouldn't always be what I normally eat, because when I'm home by myself, I pretty much eat the same thing every meal. Not every meal, like, my days look exactly the same. Like, I eat the same 5 meals every day. And so, like, just the consistency, which goes back to consistency, is really what gets you wherever you are, whether you're being consistent with your poor behaviors or you're consistent with your positively progressing, you know, behaviors. So, so I would make food for her, and I end up being sort of the momnivore when she's home, where I eat the leftovers. Like, we made nachos one night, and they're, you know, it was kind of soggy the next night, or 2 nights after Thanksgiving was last night. And I was like, I'll eat them anyways. And kind of, you know, I just, like, I'm not a food waster really, which is sort of ingrained from, childhood, like, not having a whole lot of money, and also, like, growing up in the 90s and a whole combination of social and environmental variables, I think, that a lot of us have experienced. So it's a process. And if you haven't worked on these types of things, you know, or, I mean, one of my friends was talking to me too about how he grew up with wrestling, and it's just always like, you're either starving and then you're binging afterwards. And, you know, I had an eating disorder when I was in high school. And it was, I think about it sometimes because I was a very good athlete. Like, how much better it would have been if I didn't have the, I don't know what you would say, like, misnutrition. It's not malnutrition, but, like, if my nutrition had been better, and also my mentality had been better, because I wasn't suffering with this, you know, the stress of having an eating disorder and trying to, you know, because it is stressful, because you're basically trying to work your life around this eating disorder because you want to get it in. You want to be able to use this crutch because you don't have other tools to deal with your problems. And that's what the process is, which is why, you know, a lot of times if things are very, like, I'm happy to help clients with an unhealthy food relationship. If you're excessively binging and purging or starving or that type of thing, that's not my wheelhouse, obviously. And I'm gonna always recommend therapy anyways, because I think there's always things. There might be trauma, but there might just be, you know, growing up, like I said, in an environment where you had food scarcity, and, you know, and then society's expectations of us being very, very thin, which most of us were not and couldn't just naturally be. And, like, there's all these things. So going to therapy and trying to figure out some of that background, I think, is really, really important, because there's things that we don't think could be contributing factors, and they might not be, but a lot of them are. And some things we don't even realize. Like, I, as an adult now, even I think about things that, you know, happened to me or were said, and how memorable they were and how they really were life-changing, with my thoughts on myself and that and that type of thing. And so if you get repeat, sorry, my bunnies, if you can hear that, he's in the background and he just tipped over his bowl. A lot of that stuff can really be more monumental than you think it is. And so it's just good to kind of work through that stuff, identify it. It doesn't have to be an excuse or, you know, even like it's not a crutch by any means, but identifying things really brings them to light and you're able to work through it and move past it. So therapy is something that I always recommend. I know a lot of people say, oh, I did therapy, it didn't work for me. I did therapy. I've been in and out of therapy my whole life because I've had eating disorders my whole life. But the last 4 years I was in consistent therapy, and maybe you're noticing a theme of consistency being very important and pushing through. There's been times that I've been in therapy or I didn't want to go to therapy, or even, you know, a couple of times canceled my therapy appointment or shifted them around. But for the most part, I was going every other week to or through virtual because my therapist ended up moving. So, but it was four years of concentrated therapy, and sometimes weekly and sometimes every 3 weeks, or, you know, sometimes it was a couple of times a week if I was going through something. But you need to have the tools in order to, you know, to get through and learn, you need to learn new behavior, and you have to acquire tools in order to do that. And you can't do that without practicing. You can't do that without, well, I'm going to talk about a lot of these things. The other thing I wanted to say is that, Sarah Bishop and I are going to do an episode. We're going to record next week, and that will be for our December myth busting, but we're going to talk about how to savor the holidays and not be so food focused. So I might touch on a couple of those things, but we'll talk about them more in that episode. And we're also going to talk about gut health, which is something that Sarah is very passionate about. And and she knows a lot more about it than I do. Like, I know bare minimum stuff about gut health, about so we'll see how much I'm on the same page with her. Hopefully I'll learn something from her as well, because she goes more into like testing and that type of thing. So it's very interesting. But so we're going to talk about some of the steps that I took and some of the steps that you can take to heal unhealthy food relationships. The first thing, and I notice this like all the time with everybody who is struggling with this, is that they label foods as good and bad. And I want to tell you, all these things are things that I have done and have learned to undo. They label foods good and bad. They talk about cheat meals, and they talk about the diet starts Monday and getting off the diet and on the diet. And there are definitely differences between foods. You know, there are foods that are, I say, that are more nutritious and foods that are less nutritious. And there's variables for all of those foods. One of the things that is consistent with the less nutritious foods is that they're very hyper palatable and they are very calorie dense. So it is very easy to overeat them, you know, and because of that, you don't allow your body time to create these signals of saying that you're hungry and you're full because you can eat them so quickly. So the cool thing about focusing on single ingredient foods like chicken or vegetables, like a specific vegetable, you know, rice or, you know, anything that you consider like a whole food, a single ingredient food like that, is that they're very difficult to overeat. So, you know, I've even had people ask me like, well, what do you think about fruit? And I'm like, I think fruit is great. Like, I don't know why, you know, everybody has become so anti-sugar in any type of form. And fruits have tons of micronutrients that your body needs and can use. They're full of antioxidants that help, you know, prevent cancer. They have tons of fiber. They're really delicious, especially, here's another thing, you know, the difference between these hyperpalatable foods. They're hyperpalatable, meaning they're very flavor concentrated. And so, you know, if you're going to eat raspberries and maybe they're not like even quite in season, of course it's going to taste a whole lot better to eat, candy, like gummy worms or whatever. So you do kind of have to train yourself by choosing intentionally these single food items. And so anyways, going back to labeling foods good and bad or whatever, or I can or I can't have this, again, that's another mind game that you end up playing. When you tell yourself you can't have something, you want it. Like, that's just human nature. So, you know, you have to say, this is my choice. You know, I'm going to choose to eat this meal first, and then I'm going to decide if I want to choose to have like some dessert or some candy or some chocolate or whatever it is. So choosing something, it's something you need to take time and pause and actually think about. Impulse is something that can get us in trouble as well, in a variety of ways. So, but it goes down to when you're labeling foods as good and bad, or I can and I can't have that. And one of the biggest things that I had to learn was, you know, not to label foods as black and white like this. But to know that the majority of my diet should come from whole foods, single ingredient foods. And the other foods, like, they aren't as good for you. They're not. But you can eat them in a, you can eat them occasionally. And, you know, I always say the dose makes the poison. And I mean, it's the same for, you know, anything healthy too. Like, if you ate only fruit, you know, there's people that have died from eating only fruit too, because your body is, I don't know, I think it has something to do with your liver can't process all of the fructose. And also you're just not getting the other nutrients that you need. And so you can't just eliminate, whole sources of nutrition, because your body needs things from those. So stop labeling foods good and bad. And I mean, this is where balance comes into play. As somebody who has always been like, I'm going to diet, I'm not going to diet, I'm, you know, getting ready for a bodybuilding competition, I'm not. I mean, this is something that has changed in the industry over the years too, with people start doing macro matching and realizing like you can do that, have a little bit more variety in your diet. It's more satiating, and you're going to stay the course, which goes back to the consistency thing that I was talking about. So, It is difficult, and it takes practice. Practice is the biggest thing here. And I am now going on, so I think it was around 2020 when the gym started opening up, maybe like 2021 was when I really started focusing on therapy, and not really even just my food relationship, but other things that made me think about how I was using food emotionally. I wasn't really binging at this point, but I was overeating. I was medicating with food, you know, so just eating enough where I would be consistently, like during lockdown and stuff, eating enough where I was consistently gaining weight, so that by the time lockdown was done, I think I was, and I held on to that for a little bit while I was going to the gym, because like then I was still emotionally eating the stress of the gym. Like, that was a relief, but then it was a different type of emotional eating. And so by the end of 2020, I weighed 157 pounds. And I just want to say, this year, going from 2023 into 2024, is the first year that I'm in, like, you know, we're in to November here. And I'm not thinking the diet starts in January. I'm really going to get on track in January. Like, I have really found where I want to be, and I'm realizing that now I can creep in either direction, be it, you know, in a deficit to get a little bit leaner, or, you know, increasing my calories to grow muscle, which is more the direction that I want to go. I want to do more of a building phase, but it's not going to be a bulking phase. It's going to be a gradual increase in my calories and consistency with my training in order to build muscle. And then, you know, and then I guess I would look at, like, sometime in the spring, you know, towards the summer, if I feel like I'm not as lean as I want to be, I mean, I'll assess that when I get there, but then I will, you know, and then I'll go into probably more of a cut in order to lean out for a little bit, or maybe not. Maybe I'll go through, you know, summer, you know, with a little bit more weight on me. It just kind of depends on how lean I am and how I'm feeling about that. But it just shocked me when I thought about, I was getting ready, getting dressed to go to Thanksgiving. I'm like, I am very pleased with the level of body fat that I have and how I look right now, which, you know, I mean, as pleased as I can be, right? It's really funny because I was at the gym the other day and this girl was next to me and she's like, I just want to tell you, your upper body is jacked. Like, your arms, like, you look so good. And I was like, thank you very much. And then I was like, you know, you look awesome too. And, you know, we talked for a little bit. She's a single mom and I'm a single mom, and we were just talking a little bit. And then I was telling one of the guys at the front desk, he was like, what are you training today? And I said, it's mostly a push day, but I'm probably going to do some glutes as well. And I told him what this girl said, and I was just like, it's funny that I immediately thought, oh, like, I need to work on my lower half, because that's not, like, impressive. And he was like, that's messed up that you immediately were thinking, like, of what you needed to work on. And I'm like, yeah, that's still how I look at myself. Like, a compliment is only as good as what you're complimenting, and that means maybe that something's wrong with the other parts of me. So, like, I still struggle with it. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I had mentioned before this comment that was on an Instagram post where this younger girl was just like, are you ever happy when you look in the mirror? And it's like, yeah, you are, but you don't allow yourself to be totally happy, I think, all the time with your appearance. And it's something I definitely am working on, because I think so many times as we age, we look back at who we, you know, in pictures, who we thought we didn't like, and we're like, why didn't you like her? Now I would kill to have, you know, that skin, or, you know, less wrinkles, or, like, you know, whatever it is. But you can always be doing your best to improve yourself. You're never going to get something back. But sometimes it's better. I mean, I feel like I have a better physique than I've ever had. And so, like I said, all you can do is your best and try to see the positive when you look in the mirror, and try to focus on those little negative voices that some of us just have. I'm sure, like, I'm not alone, but I'm sure there's plenty of people who are very pleased with themselves when they look in the mirror. I think my daughter is one of them. Like, she's not overly concerned about her appearance, but she, you know, she's happy with what she looks like, and she obviously makes an effort to, you know, do the things to keep up with her appearance to an extent, but she's not obsessed about it. And so I know that there are people who have a healthy mind-body relationship. It's just some of us are always going to be working on that. And it could be an era. It could be like, hey, most of us 80s, 90s kids were really brainwashed in a way. And now maybe more of it is social media, where everything looks perfect. And that can create a lot of anxiety for people. Also, though, I have to say, these younger girls that I see, I'm like, you didn't go through your blue eyeshadow awkward phase, or it's very brief, right? Like, because they have so much access to learning how to care for yourself as a woman and kind of guide yourself through those awkward stages. So I don't know if that's good or bad. That's like a whole other topic. But anyways, my first little bit of advice here is to stop labeling foods good and bad. The key is when you have an untracked meal, which is what I like to call them, because, you know, what you... Okay. The second step would be to be learning how to track food. So reading labels and plugging foods into like MyFitnessPal, which is free, and figuring out macros is kind of the second step. Like learning what is in food allows you to know what you're putting into your body. And I do this all the time. I am a label reader regardless of whether I'm going to eat something or not. Because I need to know. I need to know what I'm putting into my body. I don't want to be like, I bought a pie and it's like, holy cow, it's 800 calories a slice. That's why, I can't have this regularly. I shouldn't have this regularly. Here's me using that terminology, but you know what I mean? You're like, this is something that is for an occasion. So if I love it, it's not going to fit into my diet when I have these goals, because it's going to take up too much space that isn't productive, I guess I would say. So learning how to, learning what's in food and how to read labels and how to plug them in, I think is really important. If you want to minimize tracking foods to like the bare minimum, I would say track your protein, make sure that you're getting the adequate protein that you need in a day, and make sure that you're getting 4 to 6 fruits and vegetables. And then the rest of it is like, maybe you don't have to track that as much and you worry more, or you work more on portion control. But untracked foods have to have portion control. So even if it's like something that's really calorie dense, like you might not know exactly what a portion is, but you have to stop at a particular point. So even if it's like 6 Oreos, I don't know what a serving of Oreos is, but think about something reasonable. Even if you're going to eat a dessert that's 800 calories, be mindful of how it's making you feel. Like, you can just eat a couple of bites if you want to. Like, you don't have to finish it. You definitely can share it with somebody. I always tell my daughter, too, you don't have to eat something that doesn't taste good. You know, I mean, if it's serving a nutritional purpose, then yeah, maybe you should finish your chicken. But if you're, you know, if you got some cake and you took a bite and it wasn't very good, don't waste your calories on that. Like, my mom said this to me, and I've said it a couple of times, and it's just really, 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 really stuck with me. And she said, if you eat food that you were going to throw out, you're still wasting it. Because you don't need it either. So if you don't like it, don't eat it. I think that's really, really important, especially if it doesn't have nutritional value to it. So anyways, single ingredient foods are very hard to overconsume. So I think that's what the majority of your diet is going to be most helpful, if you have that be the majority of your diet, which means you should probably meal prep, because that is food that needs to be prepped. And, you know, when you have food ready, that's what you will eat because everybody wants something quick and they want something now. So stop calling them cheat meals. You're not cheating on your diet. You know, people, I guess they call them treat meals sometime, but I like to call them untracked meals. This is where you're deviating from your normal plan, and it has to be portion controlled. I never thought, because you think, oh, a portion controlled meal of whatever, you know, fettuccine Alfredo or something, like it might not, or a salad with real cheese and ranch dressing, like these meals might not necessarily meet your nutritional needs. Like they might not have the adequate protein, which is why the rest of your diet should have those things. But like this is something that might not meet those things. And that's why you're just looking at the total calories, because it's the total amount of calories in a day or a week or a month is what adds up to putting body fat on your body. So if your meals are portion controlled, you might not be getting quite the, you know, protein amounts that your body is requiring, but you won't gain body fat. So, you know, then you know, okay, so I need to work on more getting enough protein in throughout the day. So if I do have an untracked meal that doesn't meet my protein requirements or my fiber requirements, I'm kind of making up for it the rest of the day. And this is what balance looks like. It's not perfect. And you have to get that into your head. Like, there is no perfect diet. I can't be perfect with my diet. I've tried to be perfect in my diet for the last, 30 years, and it hasn't worked for me. So now I have to figure out this balance. And that means not being perfect all the time, but being okay with the choices that I made, you know, and not punishing myself for not being perfect, because the punishment usually comes from, well, I messed up from my perfect diet plan. And so I'm going to now, you know, it's the saying, like, you know, you get a flat tire, so you slash all four tires. And this took me so long to figure out, like so much quote unquote practicing of this, being able to let it go. But you realize that, you know, if you have an untracked meal that basically puts you at maintenance calories for the day and you were trying to be in a deficit, what does overeating, the punishment is now you set yourself further back, right? And your being in a maintenance phase is going to be the majority of your life for most people. So you have to learn how to put a halt to a binge. And, you know, the other thing is, though, too, overeating isn't going to, you know, going a little bit above your calories isn't going to be, change your physique any more drastically than under eating by the same amount of calories. Like, you can't just not eat for a day and lose body fat. Like, that's not going to happen any more than if you eat 6,000 calories in a day. You know, your body, and this is where cues to hunger and really listening to how you feel about stuff and just being quiet and paying attention to the choices that you're making makes a huge difference, because I think so many of us are just on plans and thinking about, like, this is what we have to do and not about how foods make us feel, and what hunger feels like and what fullness feels like. And like, we are just out of tune, and it makes it really, really difficult to listen to cues from our body that's like literally giving us feedback of what we should be doing and putting into our body to help us thrive. So yeah. Yeah. So when, you know, something like this happens, when you overeat, you need to backtrack to figure out why and then learn from it and then let it go. And this can only happen through practice. So, and then, you know, and then you'll have that information from the experience to do better next time. And you get to decide whatever. Like, maybe you're going to eat too much that night and, you know, you had a really good food. You just have to decide to be okay with it. Maybe that means not stepping on the scale the next day or worrying about that you're going to be retaining a little bit more water from, like, salt and glycogen and that type of thing. But, like, a lot of it is learning to be okay with it, but not so okay with it that you dismiss your goals. Like, if your goals are important, then you have to reassess, like, how often am I going to do this? Because doing this frequently is going to keep me from my goals. So also, you know, backtracking, think about, like, this is something probably Sarah and I will talk about with the holidays, but, like, you don't want to save up your calories for your party at night, like, because you will end up overeating. You can't starve yourself all day. And, you know, you're end up having a binge, end up eating too much. You throw alcohol in with that, then you're really going to, like, you just throw caution to the wind when you have alcohol in your system. So eat normally. I even encourage people to, eat a little bit of chicken. You could eat some chicken in like one of those low carb fiber wraps or whatever with some lettuce, something like that. You don't want to be hungry when you go into a party that has food that you have not eaten in a year and you really, really want to consume. So don't try to save up your calories, because this is where backtracking would help you. Like, maybe you're getting ready for a party all day and then you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't get in a couple of good meals that were very protein based. I didn't get any vegetables or fruits in, and I didn't eat enough water. So of course that's why I overate, you know. Or maybe, like, your mother-in-law was stressing you out and you can figure out, like, that was a stressful situation, or you're afraid somebody was going to ask you why you're still single or whatever it is that people experience around the holidays. And you can figure out that's what the stressor was. So just knowing that, even if you can't always prevent that, allows you to maybe better prepare yourself mentally or better prepare yourself physically for a particular, a particular moment. But I think whenever you are emotionally eating, you need to figure out what the emotion is that you're eating. Keep food away that you cannot avoid. Something I have talked about in the past is something that my mom, she didn't tell me about it, but I had talked about it when I quit smoking. And she was like, yes, that is called not an option. When I quit smoking in 2012, I just decided that I was going to quit. And whatever happened, I was not going to light up a cigarette again. I was not going to go buy cigarettes. I was not going back to cigarettes. And my mom was like, yes, we call that not an option. And you can do that with people, blocking out people from your life. And you can definitely do it with food. And that's okay to say, you know what, I cannot have peanut butter cups in my house. I will eat them all. So keeping them out of your house, keeping them not an option where you really would have to drive through a winter storm in order to get peanut butter cups, makes it that much more difficult. And in that time, you can think about, why is it that I want these? Why am I so stressed out? And then maybe you get to a point where you're like, I can keep, like, miniature ones in the house. Like, I do this a lot with candy bars. I have miniature ones in the house and, you know, I will eat one and not really even think about it too much. Cause I know it's not going to be the difference between, it's not going to make or break my diet or my day or my mood or whatever it is. Like, sometimes, you know, you just want a piece of chocolate, or a little candy bar or whatever it is. But it's not emotionally related. I'm not trying to numb that, you know, somebody said something derogatory to me or whatever it is. But if you can't have something in the house, don't have it in the house. And that's tough for, I want to say, for moms sometimes. And people will be like, well, your kids don't need those snacks either. No, they don't. But it is really, like, I had a daughter who wasn't really great with, like, she was a snacky type person. So her lunches were usually a lot of snack items. I don't think it was until her senior year that I actually was able to start putting like sandwiches in her lunches, because she just would always get like, she'd have goldfish and I would, you know, cut up apples, or, you know, it was just like different snacky stuff, fruit snacks and, you know, Go-Gurts and whatever it is. So, it's tough, but if you have something in your house that you really, really can't handle, maybe there's other snacks that you can do for your kids. Or, you know what, maybe this is just a season where it's just going to be a little bit more difficult. You know, like I said, I noticed that my diet is a little bit more lax when my daughter is around, and I still will back clean up with food because I don't want it to go to waste, and maybe she didn't eat as much as I thought she was going to, or whatever it is. And, you know, and that's okay, because, you know, I had these seasons of my life as well where my weight was a little bit higher. I didn't have quite as much control. You're not always going to be able to control every little bit of your environment, but if you can keep out, like if you just know, I can't not binge on ice cream, and you can say, like, we're going to get cups of ice cream, or we're going to get ice cream bars, so it's a little bit more difficult for you to splurge that way. Like, there might not always be the best solution available, but there's always going to be a better solution. And the bottom line is, you really want to try to figure out how to navigate that situation and feel good about the choice that you made. Like, okay, that worked for me. It was all right. Like, I ate 2 ice cream bars, but, you know, I didn't eat 1/2 gallon of ice cream, you know. And you work on it, and that's where the practice comes in. Like, it's been a lot of practicing. Like I said, we're coming into 2024 now. You know, I've been working on this for 3.5 years. And I think I look at my pictures and videos of my physique a year ago, and that was definitely in a very slow, you know, this learning phase. I wasn't as consistent with the gym, so I did lose a lot of muscle. So this past few months have really been getting that muscle back that I had lost. And so, you know, my physique at this weight looks more muscular than it did last year. And it's just phases. It's like life is full of all of these seasons, and you're not going to look 100% best or feel 100% good about yourself, I think, all the time, because you have different priorities. You're sacrificing different things, and your life involves other people, environments, and things. Like, it is not just about you. So this is why having a healthy food relationship is important. And this is what I had recognized too, because it was like every time you took the gym away from me, my weight would blow up, because I would not only not be like working out, like whether it was through like a surgery or injury or whatever, but I also was like emotionally eating as well. And you have to learn how to channel those emotions. So, because they're not going to go away. So like recognizing them and how you feel. And I know people are always like, oh, journal or go for a walk or call a friend or whatever it is. It doesn't always mean that. Sometimes it's just sitting with them and recognizing, you know, or even if you do go to food, like, you know, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to snack on some chips while I just feel sad for a minute. I think that's okay, as long as you are okay with it and you don't push it too far. You know, if you do end up eating a whole bag of chips, like I have gotten to that as well. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Like that happens sometimes. Like sometimes when we're practicing these behaviors, we still fall back into old behaviors. Like it's okay. So these are some of the things that, you know, that I have had to work on. You don't have to earn your food or burn off your food. That is another thing too. Anything that is like making you feel like you're behind and you need to catch up. Like if you can't be present with something and just, you know, experience that experience and move on from it, that's what's going to cause a lot of stress and rebound type behavior. So taking deep breaths, I think, is helpful. Evaluating situations, being at peace, congratulating yourself on doing the best that you can or better than you did the last time. Like, these are all things that you can do. But you know what? The bottom line is, if you want to have a healthy food relationship, the majority of your food needs to be foods that are health promoting to your body. The other foods are for, you know, occasional use. And that, honestly, that means daily for some people. I think, honestly, for myself, I probably eat something like that every day. And I think that's part of the practice. And then, you know what? When you know that you can have it every day, it's kind of like my daughter was at college and she said to me, she's at the farthest dorm from like all the classes, so she's walking a lot. And she said, you know, despite me eating more than I have ever, she said, I was at the gym the other day and I got on the scale and I was down like 3 pounds. And I said, well, you are walking a lot and that makes a huge difference. I said, plus, I bet you're not eating as much as you were at the beginning. Because she had talked about, like, she was eating ice cream at dinner with her friends after every meal at the beginning. And I said, the novelty of that probably wore off, didn't it? She said, yeah, and even some of the foods I'm actually sick of, because even if it's like a 2-week rotation of food, like, they're still seeing like a lot of the same foods. So, you know, that's also part of it. Because when you label something, even the label will end up changing. But if you label something good or bad, I feel like that label will stay. But if you label it as something that I can have if I want to, but I probably don't want to, or even just making, you know, yourself, not making yourself, but choosing to eat that regularly. I mean, it's just like, it's like anything. My diet is the same until a meal changes, and it's usually seasonal. You know, my breakfast in the morning for a while was a protein shake and like a 200 calorie granola bar. And then I went into, you know, I go into like different types of oats. And just recently in the last like 2 weeks, it switched to, I do cooked oats now with peanut butter and bananas. So like the weather is getting colder, so I'm doing cooked oats, but like previously I was doing overnight oats. And like, and I'll probably do that until, you know, March. Like, so if you have something, this is, you know, this goes back to too, like establishing routine and being consistent with it, because you will like it until you don't like it, and then you'll pick something else. So even if you're incorporating chocolate every day, you'll probably get sick of it, you know, and then you'll want to put something else in there, and maybe it'll be a cup of raspberries with Cool Whip, or, you know, I don't know. But the biggest thing that I did in the last few years was stop trying to be perfect with my diet and stop trying to label things good and bad, and then practice that. You know, people want to have a perfect stretch of time, which is why they're like, the diet starts after the holidays. This is the time to be practicing to have a healthy food relationship. And I know Sarah and I are going to talk about a lot of these things that, you know, that will help you sort of navigate the holidays so that you're able to enjoy the food but not be food focused. So you can savor the holidays and feel good about yourself when you come out of that. And, you know, I was going to bring it up on the podcast, but Alan Aragon had talked about, I think it was him who had talked about a statistic that, you know, people will gain 10 or 20 pounds over the course of like 10 years. And they say that's because during the holiday season, most people will gain an average of about 2 pounds, but they won't lose it. And so they hold on to that. And so then the next year, it's like two more pounds, and it builds up in that manner. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but you should be able to get through the holidays, and any weight that you gain will regulate itself off of you with these types of behaviors that are consistent as far as like gym goes and just having less untracked meals. It does take more effort. It's not like your body is just like, oh, I got this. Like maybe if you listen to it, but with a little bit of effort, you can, you can keep these situations from going, blowing out of proportion. And I don't know. I think it's important. This is stuff I go through a lot with my clients. So like, I have this coming up and it's like, well, what are you gonna, like, what's your plan? What's your plan for it? You know, and then we'll talk about like what it is that they're going to do when they go to their work party or whatever it is. And, you know, and then it's like in the next day, you just get right back on track with your plan, you know, like what's normal. Because I know some people do have holiday parties day after day after day, but, and that would be very difficult. Just like a lot of business people I know have business luncheons, and trying to do untracked meals regularly does make it a lot more difficult to progress towards goals. But you have to figure out how to navigate that and what is going to keep you on track with what your goals are. And you might need to soften up your goals a little bit. Like I said, there are seasons, and your time will come. And like, I'm in this phase now. It's like, okay, I can focus on myself a little bit more. I don't love it because I miss my child. Like, being a parent to my daughter has been the best years of my life. I could relive that 18 years over and over and over again. So me time on a regular basis is, I think, overrated. Do you need to have a little bit of me time or alone time? A lot of people do. I definitely do. But you don't want all your time to me time. And so, you know, when you look forward to this season of, oh, I'll finally, like when I don't have my kids, I can finally get back into shape. But it's like, you know, yeah, but you're going to miss the parenting that you were doing, and you're going to miss the kids there. So it's like, I think it goes back to being present for a lot of this, enjoying the moment, doing the best that you can, and looking at those as opportunities to practice having a healthy food relationship. You will be shocked. You will be shocked the first time that you don't overeat, and the next day you don't feel like crap. It's not the food. It's the amount of food. You know, I remember one of my clients, Robin, the first time that she had a couple of slices of pizza and like a White Claw. You know, it was on like a Thursday, and she had check-in on Friday, and she was just like, I am mind blown that I feel fine, and I weighed, you know, the same for my check-in and et cetera, et cetera. She's like, I've never had that from eating pizza and beer. And I'm like, but have you ever just eaten 2 pieces of pizza and 1 drink? And she's like, no. You know, so that is the difference. It's not the food. It's the amount of food. So portion control is huge with untracked meals. And you have to get over that. Like, you're not going to meet all your nutrient requirements from that untracked meal, but that's why you have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 more meals throughout the day or the week or a lifetime to get it 75% right and still be able to live, you know, because everybody wants to get off this roller coaster of dieting and gaining the weight back and dieting and gaining the weight back. Like, it's a slower journey to getting to where you want to be when you're doing it in a more balanced way. But you get to stay there. And I think that's what everybody wants. They want a healthy food relationship and to know that they can handle it if, you know, variables get thrown in their way. Like, you want to be in control. That's what these eating disorders are about. It's like, and so you have to control, you know, learn how to control the other variables and figure out what the triggers are and all that stuff. So, you know, if you think you need therapy, I would encourage you to find a good therapist. Don't give up on somebody. If you don't like somebody, though, after a couple of weeks, try somebody else. There are a lot of good therapists out there. And when you find one, like the one I found, that was priceless. That was just the best investment that I ever could have made, because, so helpful. Like, the level of neuroticism that diminished, you know, the emotional roller coaster that was my life, trying to figure out stuff, like, you learning tools and a good coach on a certain level. Like I said, I love helping people with this. I love helping people navigate through these situations. It's rewarding. Like I said, you feel good about yourself every single day, because you're just like, you know, like, it was normal for me, but I'm still progressing towards my goals. I didn't have this huge setback because I was able to, like, problem solve. Like, it's incredible. So anyways, if you're interested in coaching, you can reach out to me. You can email me buffcake22@gmail.com. This is definitely not an advertisement for me to take on clients. I am working on my education at this point, and I usually only have 5 clients or less at any time. And so, I could probably take on some people. I'll make sure, though, that it's a good relationship. We would do a Zoom call, all this stuff, but I'm working on my education. I also, as a lot of you know, I have a cleaning business. I'm working on that because that is really what pays my bills. And so I'm working on growing that. So I do have a lot going on, but it doesn't mean that I wouldn't be open to helping someone. Female is my clientele base right now, who I think that I could help and is willing to put 100% effort into it, that I can put 100% effort into them as well. So anyways, you guys, I hope this was helpful. Definitely something I love talking about, because I feel like I have a lot of victory over this after, you know, I'm going to be 48 in the spring, and I can't even tell you, you know, I started my first diet when I was 12. So this has always been, something that I've struggled with. And I just feel really, really good about, my food relationship, about my emotions, my reactions and my responses to things. And, it has been an incredible journey, but it's been very freeing. And I'm so glad that, even though we could say that it's taken this long, that I still have, hopefully half my life left to be able to live in a much more freeing fashion. So, you know, always looking at the positive, always looking at the bright side. But anyways, you guys, I hope you have a really, really great holiday weekend, and take some of this into consideration as you go into the holidays and moving forward. And it will be something that I continue to, you know, hopefully do more podcasts about and talk about. If you have any questions or concerns or, you know, whatever, feel free to email me about anything, and I will do my best to reply to those also. But I hope you have the best day, and remember that healthy looks different on everybody.